And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ahoy, mateys. Welcome aboard the RBLR Bucks podcast, where the spirit of Tampa Bay Buccaneers football is as fierce as a cannon blast. I'm Musab, one of your co-hosts tonight, and also one of your navigators to tonight's exhilarating journey on the high seas of the NFL. Ladies and gents, you have weathered the storm of the offseason. The regular season is upon us, and it's time to set sail into this exhilarating waters of football once again. Forget those sleepy articles from those interns and that preseason chatter. All right, the real adventure begins now. And folks, reminder, if you love what you hear, hit that like and subscribe button. And for those who really love us, feel free to drop a comment on our live stream or after the show on our social media. Well, that being said, our Buccaneers are ready to clash with the Washington Commanders. But let me tell you this, the only commanding that's going to be happening is from us when we tell them to surrender. All right. And sooner or later, before you say ahoy, the game is going to be over. All right. Oof. I'd be lying to you if I wasn't say I'd be bouncing off the walls mentally. I can't do it right now since I'm on screen, but, you know, I'm kind of like that Cocoa Puffs bird. I'm kind of going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs right now, but I guess I'm going cuckoo for the Buccaneers. But I know you're right there with me, pumped and ready for the thrill of the game. Now, as I said, I always say we and one of your co-hosts, well, you know, this isn't a solo voyage. All right, no. I'm joined by the hottest duo in Tampa Bay, bringing you that high-octane blend of humor, expertise, and spirited debate that mirrors the thrill of every nail-biting game of ours. Well, first up, I want to give a hearty salute to our podcast offensive coordinator, the one and only Mr. Zach Blaine.
How's it going, brother? How are you doing today, man?
So far, so good. You know, we had a little bit of football action yesterday from the Ravens and Chiefs.
I know,
it just feels really nice to know that whatever we see, whether it's college football or NFL, this is the real deal, okay? So if a guy plays crap, then he plays crap. He sucks, okay? No more excuses. Oh, he's just taking it light or whatever. All right? So that's what I enjoy the most about the regular season, all right? It all comes down to this.
You're not wrong, man, at all. I lost all of my bets last night, so I was pretty irritated with the game in general, but – you know, it was fun to watch, at least, to know, like you said, know that we're back into where every win or loss counts now. It might only be week one, but what if you need one win to get in the playoffs and this was the one you needed, you know? So it's just fun to have back, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all the news articles, you know, kind of crapping on certain players, thinking, oh, is their career over? No, it's not, buddy. It's only week one. But
listen, Jackson did miss two wide open throws.
Yeah. Well, the final puzzle piece to our podcast trio is standing strong on the defensive front. He's our defensive coordinator. He is Mr. Carter Brantley. Carter, what's going on with you, man?
Nothing much. I'm a little surprised to be the DC. I always thought of myself as an offensive coordinator.
No, I was going to say the same thing. I thought I was a defensive guy, but I was just going to let it slide.
Musab is definitely the head coach. Like, that's
No. You know, I actually had something already prepared for you because I know one of y'all were going to say, oh, well, what coach are you, Musab? Well, I'm the O-line coach. This year, I'm all about the gritty trenches. All right, that's all I'm about, baby. Shout out Graham Barton, shout out Elijah Klein, shout out Tristan Wirfs.
Hell yeah, I dig it. Yeah, I mean, an O-line coach is an invaluable thing, especially nowadays. I mean, you can tell when a team has a good O-line coach. Like, I mean, the Patriots had that dominant O-line coach for years, and that was part of the reason Brady and Belichick were so successful, you know. So a good O-line coach, which you would be, Musab, it's invaluable. Don't sleep on the O-line coaches. But as Mr. Tariq and Mr. Blaine have been teasing, the Bucs regular season finally starts this week. Like Zach said, we saw a little bit of NFL football last night with Kansas City and Baltimore. You know, it was a bit of a bummer of an ending, but it was a really fun game. I had a blast watching it. It was great to have football back and everything. But yeah, the if I have to hear any more about any illegal formation penalties and an offensive lineman being in the backfield,
so ridiculous, bro.
Yeah, just absolutely asinine. But that's neither here nor there. We're gonna get into some Bucks stuff because it's the beginning of the regular season. So we'll start with some record predictions because that's, you know, that's That's what we're here for, right? Mr. Tariq, I'll start with you, my man. I'll throw it right back at you. What's your record prediction for the Bucks this season?
This one's a little optimistic, but you know, after going over the schedule and all that, I think it's possible. And I'm going 11-6. I think we'll have a couple of tough battles, but I just don't think we're gonna have a couple of fluke losses like we've had in the past. I'm really feeling like, you know, we're not gonna let that happen again this year, and that's why I'm going 11-6. But who knows?
All right, I dig it. 11-6. That's very optimistic, but hey, it's realistic. You know, the Bucks could very easily, you know, have a great season, reel off 11 wins. That's perfectly within the realm of possibility. Mr. Blaine, I feel like you're the pessimist among the three of us, so maybe bring us back down to earth a little bit. What's your Bucks record?
I can't do that today, man. I've got us also 11-6, if not 12-5.
Wow. Okay.
It's crazy, and I know that that's on the high side of things. I'm not denying that.
For sure.
But I think a couple of the tough games we have are winnable.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens game last night, I believe we play the Chiefs this year, don't we? In the regular season, do we?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah, we play them November 4th.
Yeah, exactly. So the Chiefs, I know it was week one. They didn't look all that great. Worthy scares the living hell out of me. He looked really good, but other than that, their defense didn't strike fear into me last night. So with that being said, I don't think that game's as unwinnable as it felt in the preseason. And then I think the games like the Lions game, like that could go either way. We saw that in the playoffs. It was a close playoff game. So when I first looked at this roster, this schedule, I was more pessimistic. But the more that I look at it and really think, like, I could see us making some noise this year.
All right. Well, shoot. I'm going to be the pessimist of the group. I've got them going 10-7. A little bit, you know, a game. You know, it's a game. Like, they could.
You know what? I'm happy that the pessimistic person in our group right now, though, is still saying we're gonna win double digit games.
Like, yeah, oh, for sure.
Positive. That's a promising.
Indeed, absolutely. If the most negative range of outcomes is still double digit wins, that's phenomenal. You know, things could swing the other way, and they could have a horrible season. Of course, that's not out of the realm of possibility. But I think 10 wins is very doable for the Bucks. I think that's a solid prediction. So I'll go with 10-7, and I'll kick off our next topic, the division standings prediction. You know, we're going to go through each team in order and their records and stuff. So I do think 10-7 wins the division. I think it wins it by a narrow margin, but it wins it by a margin at least. And then Atlanta will come in second at 9-8. I'll probably have New Orleans at 8-9 in third, and then I'll probably have Carolina coming in, unfortunately, as the cellar dweller at 6-11. You know, I think that there's just a lot of that's what we all love about the NFL. It's definitely the most parity-driven league in American sports, really. There's just a lot of solid teams, you know, and there's a lot of things that, you know, could go one way or the other. So I don't necessarily see Carolina having the meltdown of a season that they did last year, and I don't really see a meltdown season from the other two teams either. So that's what I've got. Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? What's your rest of the world?
I'm not far off from you. I've got Atlanta finishing second at 8-9. I have Carolina finishing third, though, at 7-10.
Ooh.
And then New Orleans finishing at 6-11.
Wow, man. Dark on New Orleans. Okay.
I'm not high on New Orleans defense, and I'm not sold on Derek Carr yet.
Wow.
So until Derek Carr proves something to me, I think that Carolina made some moves that were – undervalued, like we had talked about in previous episodes. I think it was last week, actually, that we had talked about Carolina might be kind of surprising this year. Like, not a playoff team, but I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last year. In fact, I don't think they're going to finish last in the division this year. So, with that being said, I think they're all going to be really close. I think that we are going to almost blow the division out of the water this year. Even if we go 10-7, like, that's still – going to be significantly better than anyone else in this division, I think, this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly an interesting take. I would love for Carolina to take a step forward, because I think Bryce Young was dealt a bad hand last year. I think there's a lot of talent on that team that you know, is just kind of overlooked, so to speak, undervalued. So yeah, I'd be really excited to see Carolina get out of the cellar, because that would be a lot of fun. But you know, there's only so much you can do when you go and you have one win in a season and then you don't get your first round pick. So that's why I'm with you. I'm optimistic, but I don't think I'm quite there yet. I think they're still going to finish in the cellar, but I'd be stoked if they finish third. Mr. Tariq, how about you, my man? How do you have the NFC South shaking out?
Yeah, I think we'll run away with the NFC South title. I think it's going to be kind of a narrow win between us and Atlanta. I feel like after a couple weeks, really the race is only going to be between us and Atlanta. I got Atlanta going 10-7. I do think that they also have an easier schedule as well. So I think that's totally capable of them. Now for New Orleans, I got 7-10. I don't know. I don't really have much to say other than that. I just think they're just going to have a kind of season.
Yeah.
Carolina, I don't think much is going to change from last year. I mean, to be honest, I'm not going to act like I know everything about the Panthers, but this offseason hasn't really told me that, you know, there's really any big reason for them to improve, other than, I guess, Dave Canales. But I mean, let's see what he does. I mean, it's not like he's playing on the field. You know, it all comes down to the players at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, if guys ain't catching the ball, then
yeah, no, I
what's
feel
Dave
you.
There for yeah,
yeah, it's more about the Jims and the Joes than the X's and the O's or whatever that.
Well, shout out Xavier Legette. I love his accent, and I wish him all the best.
Yeah, absolutely, and I do like that they really invested heavily in their offensive line this offseason, which isn't super splashy. And like you said, they're not running routes, and there's only so much you can do, even given, you know, more time than last season. There's only so much you can do if guys just aren't getting open. So it's going to be tough for sure. But I do think it's at least a step in the right direction. But like you said, is it enough of a step to really warrant them, you know, not being last place in the NFC South? I don't know. maybe not. Maybe so. We'll see. But other than the Bucks, I know that the Ravens in Kansas City played last night. The Eagles and the Packers play tonight in Brazil. So are there any other teams other than the Bucks that you maybe have a passing interest in, or maybe you're like, oh, it'd be cool if they win? Mr. Tariq, we'll start with you, my man. Do you have a team other than the Bucks that you're maybe rooting for?
Yeah, it's the Ravens.
I know,
but I mean, I just root for them just because three reasons. I don't have any kind of like big reason. I mean, I think they're a great team. I think they have potential for sure. But I mean, I love Lamar Jackson. I saw him cook my FSU team when I was a freshman. I'll never forget that day ever. And I've always thought that he was amazing. And I was rooting for him since the day he got drafted, when people told him he should be a wide receiver. Anyways. And then Derrick Henry, I mean, again, been watching him since I was in high school. My TA in college was actually his tutor, and she gave me all these stories about him, and loved Derrick Henry. And then Zay Flowers, I met when he was at Boston College.
Just a little quick
or whatever, just a little quick what's up. Yeah, he came to one of the sports bars right by BC. So that's why. And I mean, yeah, so I don't really have any other team other than, I'll probably just say the Ravens, though. Yeah,
for sure.
Plus I also hate the Steelers. My cousin's a huge fan of the Steelers, so I wish them all the worst. So yeah, and I know he hates the Ravens, so yeah.
That's hilarious. I love it. Absolutely. Any Steelers hate is good hate. Mr. Blaine, how about you, my man? What's the other team in the NFL that you have a rooting interest in?
So I have two. After week one, the Washington Commanders, I'm excited to see how Daniels how he matures throughout the year and how the player he becomes, because I've been pretty high on him, saying I think he's going to be the best quarterback out of this draft.
You said Michael Penix was going to
The first year. Let me rephrase that. Sorry. I think Michael Penix long-term is best quarterback out of this draft.
Gotcha.
I think Jaden Daniels is the most impactful sooner, if that makes sense.
Understood.
Yeah. I don't remember how I phrased it before.
That's right.
And then the other team outside of them is the Tennessee Titans. I think that Will Levis is someone that I'm excited to watch grow as a quarterback. I hate that he puts mayo in everything, but, you know, outside of that. And then that team in general, they made some upgrades, and I think they're going to be fun to watch. And maybe, you know, since I live here, can go catch a game or two this year.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting because Tennessee's got, like you said, Will Levis, and they made a bunch of kind of high-priced additions. L'Jarius Sneed and Tony Pollard and Calvin Ridley, they made quite a few moves this offseason to sort of bolster that roster. So yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, there's a, I feel like every NFL team is really interesting this season. I feel like there's not really a team that I look at and I think, oh man, they're going to be awful. I have no interest in anything they're doing. Like every team has at least one or two storylines that I'm like, huh, you know, that could be kind of something that I'd be into. And if you're into upgrading your wardrobe, if you're looking for a way to really have, you know, an interesting wardrobe going into the football season, definitely check out shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some fire gear there. Everything Tampa Bay sports related, we've got you. And we'll give you a promo code just to celebrate the beginning of the NFL season. That's Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S, for 10% off your entire order. Just type it in. So anyways, after that little plug, we're going to come at you with the second half of our episode, which is focused on the game because, you know, we took a little bit of a look at the season in general, but there's a game on Sunday, you know, so we'll talk about that. It's against the Washington Commanders, as we've been talking about. They got Jaden Daniels, a new quarterback. They dealt away their two best pass rushers last year. They traded away their former first-round pick wide receiver, Jahan Dotson, to the Eagles. So who knows what to make of the Commanders, but is there anything you're looking for on either side of the ball for the Bucs specifically? Mr. Blaine, I'll start with you, my man. What are you looking for from the Bucs? Just kind of week one, starting the season off, anything you're looking for in particular?
Honestly, I feel like a broken record at this point, but it's got to be the defensive back room and how we're able to cover, considering outside of Terry McLaurin, like their wide receiver room is not very deep. Where they got Diami Brown. I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, Diami Brown.
Brown. Like they don't have any scary weapons to me outside of Terry McLaurin. So I think this is a good game to kind of judge. Hazel agrees to kind of judge on how this defensive back room can be against mid-level wide receiver talent.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a mid-level wide receiver talent team. Like you said, Terry McLaurin, and then it gets real thin. So yeah, that's going to be really interesting to watch for sure. I know you're big into the defensive back room, so that's going to be something to keep an eye on it for sure. I think for me, it's going to be the pass rush, honestly, how they are able to affect Jaden Daniels and how they're able to, you know, get after this offensive line that's a bit weak. You know, it's not one of the strongest groups in the NFL. But Mr. Treek, how about you? What are you looking for in this game?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm looking for a couple of things. The first thing being, how's our offensive line looking? I want to see how Graham Barton and company are doing. I want to see what our run game's looking now that we got Bucky Irving. And, I mean, he looked really great during the preseason. But overall, I have to say what I'm really looking for is how hot we start off, because I feel like, you know, as long as we start off hot, I feel like that kind of fires up everyone, especially since it's the first game. But like y'all mentioned with the DB room and the pass rush, I feel like one of them's got to work out. If not the pass rush, then the DBs better step up. And if not the DBs and the pass rush, you know, better be, you know, pressuring Jaden Daniels big time. But, yeah, those are probably just a couple of things I'm looking for.
Yeah, and if neither of them are working out, then it could be a long day. I'm with you. They've got to either get pressure or do a great job in lockdown coverage. That'll be a lot of fun to watch for sure. But speaking of Jaden Daniels, Mr. Treek, I'll throw this question right back at you. Do you expect him to struggle a little bit since it's, you know, his first game in the NFL?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah. And as you mentioned as well, I mean, Terry McLaurin, and then after that, I mean, it does get really thin. Nothing's ever really kind of, you know, stood out with the Commanders other than probably them picking up Jaden Daniels in the draft. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think, yeah, he's got high potential for sure, but I mean, it's his first game, you know, and now it's regular season. So, you know, I definitely think it's going to take a little bit of time. I don't think anyone's going to come out hot. You know, do y'all know any, like, remember any rookie that just came out hot in the first game of the year taking out?
I remember Jameis throwing his first pass, and I think it was – I knew it was a pick, but I think it might have been a pick six. I don't remember if it was taken back for a touchdown, but I definitely remember his first pass was an interception. So that was a lot of fun. I can't really say I can't really speak on rookie quarterbacks in their first games. I know obviously C.J. Stroud had a big year last year. Trevor Lawrence struggled in his rookie year, but he was also dealing with Urban Meyer and God knows what else. That was a rough time. But Zach, how about you? What are your thoughts on Jaden Daniels, and maybe just a philosophical pondering about rookie quarterbacks and their first game or their first season?
So Todd Bowles has a winning record against rookie quarterbacks, as crazy as that might sound. He does actually have a winning record against rookie quarterbacks. So I don't think that Daniels is going to necessarily struggle against our defense, but I don't think he's going to have a stellar game. I think he's going to play average. Like, outside of Terry McLaurin and even Scary Terry, like, he's not great at getting separation off of corners. So if we've got Dean on him all game, Brian Robinson's going to have to step up. I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be able to do it on his own. And unfortunately, I think he might have good stats, but the rest of the team's not. So it's going to look like he didn't have a great game, but I think he's going to have an okay game against us.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jaden Daniels. He's a very talented young player. And, he'll be able to do a lot of things on the field that, maybe some other quarterbacks can't. He's got an immense athletic ability. Him and the USF guy, Byron Brown, last year, I think they were the only two quarterbacks to throw for 3,000 or 4,000 yards, and they ran for 800 yards or something. Some cool little dual threat stat. He's a Heisman winner for a reason. So, he's super talented, but like you said, can't do it on your own, especially at the NFL level. I don't think anyone expects him to be Patrick Mahomes, especially in his first game. So, it'll be really interesting to see how that kind of storyline or plot line, whatever you want to call it, develops. But is there anything that y'all are looking at that's kind of an X factor for either team that maybe people are kind of looking overlooking, but you think is going to make kind of a big difference in this game? Mr. Blaine, I'll throw it right back at you. What's an X factor for this team?
You touched on it earlier. It's the pass rush for Tampa. If we can get pressure on Daniels, and not only pass rush, but let's just say making tackles behind the line of scrimmage. The run game, we got to be able to stop Brian Robinson, and we also have to be able to contain Daniels. As long as we can do that, I think that this game could easily be ours. I'm not scared by Washington's defense. They got Deron Payne, don't they? That's like the only name that scares me on that defense. So I think the only X factor for us, I think – like, our usual guys will not play good. I think Baker's going to have a good game. I think Mike Evans is going to have a good game. So the X factor to me has got to be the pass rush and the ability to get pressure in the backfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely getting those negative plays. I mean, that's huge. Low success rates, that's a big thing in the NFL. Just making that number go down, as much as possible. And, the Washington offensive line is tough. So, and I have heard some things about Kalijah Kansi potentially being questionable, which really sucks. That worries me a little bit. So maybe that's kind of an X factor for me, but also looking at the other side's pass rush, the Commanders' pass rush. They dealt Montez Sweat and Chase Young last year. Obviously Chase Young has dealt with his fair share of injuries. So, maybe that's not as much of a loss, but Montez Sweat, he's a quality pass rusher, and they didn't really replace, their first round pick, Jaden Daniels. So I think that the Bucs are going to be able to kind of do a lot of things offensively. They also lost Caden Curl, their safety, to the Rams. So I just think that the Commanders pass rush specifically, but really the defense in general, I think that the Bucs offense might have a big day. I'm pretty excited to see how that plays out, whether it's running the ball or throwing the ball. I think that the Bucs will be able to do a lot of what they want. It's a nice kind of soft landing spot for Liam Cohen's first game as the OC for the Bucs. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? What's an X factor for either team that you're thinking of?
I think that if the Commanders' offensive line, really steps it up and, stops our pass rush capability, I feel like that's kind of going to allow Daniels to be really comfortable. Because I'll tell you this, if you're a rookie quarterback, you got a crappy offensive line, it's really going to shake you up big time. You know what I'm saying? But if our pass rush doesn't really end up being what we want it to be, and even if the offensive line of theirs does a solid job, I feel like that can really help them. Because as Zach touched on it, our DB room is also very mysterious. I'll say that. I feel like at the end of the day, I feel like if the Commanders end up keeping it close or they win or something, I feel like we're going to have to give credit to the offensive line for allowing Daniels to kind of, you know, get a feel for, you know, a real NFL game.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw it last year with Bryce Young, unfortunately, in the negative. You know, he had no offensive line help, and he also didn't have any receivers to throw to, but it was really the offensive line that was really giving him trouble because, you know, it just, like you said, it shakes their confidence. They're not comfortable in the pocket. They feel like they're still in college, so they're kind of able to do, you know, they feel in their head that they can do things that they obviously can't do at the NFL level. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over the year, really, but especially in this first game. You know, hopefully the Bucs are able to kind of take advantage of that and sneak away a win. Not that they're going to sneak away a win or anything, but, you know, it'll be nice to see them hopefully take advantage of that. But this is a good time to remind everyone, even if the Bucs lose this game, still week one. Like, it's a bad loss, I get it, but you know, I wanted, before we log off here, before we get into our predictions and stuff like that, that even if the Bucs lose this game, it's okay. It's week one. Still got 16 games after this one. So let's all take a deep breath. You know, it's all going to be okay. And we'll still be coming back at you with a show next week. So it'll be all good. But before we log off, I want to hear y'all's game predictions. So what do you got? I'm assuming you got the Bucs winning because, you know, it's a Bucs show and they're playing the Commanders. But Mr. Blaine, I'll start with you, man. Who do you have winning? What's the score?
I have Tampa winning 34-17.
Ooh, wow.
I think it's gonna be a solid victory for us.
Heck yeah. I love it. All right. Hey, I like the big score. I like the big numbers. All right. Mr. Treek, how about you? What's your final score and who you got?
I'm going 28-13 Buccaneers win. I just think that overall we're gonna be able to dominate. I feel like maybe the Commanders might get a couple times where, you know, they do get hot here and there. You know, that's how they'll get their 13 points. But other than that, I think we'll hopefully control the whole game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go Bucs winning, but I'm going to go 27-21. I think it's going to be a little bit closer just because it's week one. You know, everyone's kind of settling in. Everyone's kind of not necessarily super comfortable with the whatever schemes they're running, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. It might be a little bit sloppy. There might be a few kind of unexpected turnovers, but that's going to happen throughout the year, especially in week one. So I think that the Commanders will manage to keep it a little bit closer, but I do think the Bucs pull away with this victory, and I think it is a big day for the Bucs offense, mostly throwing the ball, but I think the running game is going to be pretty solid too. The Commanders, they do have, you know, they've got those big monsters in the middle, Jonathan Allen and De'Aaron Payne, so it's not going to be, you know, cakewalk running the ball, unfortunately. But I do think that they're able to take advantage of a weak secondary and a weak pass rush, especially. So I've got the Bucs 27-21. That's going to be my final score. But we're logging off here. We're going to head off and let y'all get on with your evening and let y'all get ready for the weekend because, you know, it's Friday. We're coming at you, or whenever this is. It's Friday, right? Yeah, it's Friday. Okay, it's cool. Friday. We appreciate y'all for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, definitely leave a like and a subscribe. You can also follow us at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks specifically. We got content coming out every week, and hopefully we're coming at you with a Bucks victory next week. But even if not, hey, it's football season, so it's still a good time. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Appreciate my co-hosts, and as always,
go Bucks. Go Bucks. Go Bucks.
What the hell, Nico?
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.